All right, hello everybody, and welcome to the Old Moon Podcast, episode 66.
67.
67, at least I didn't miss 69, yeah. We're good. All right, we have not met in a few weeks because I have been ill. Yeah. My throat is still recovering from the serious illness that it had. Got brutally attacked for about 3 weeks. It was really, really bad, but it's almost back to full strength now, and so we are back on back on schedule for the podcast here. I am Blue Squadron, one of your hosts, as usual, joined by Jaycoon.
Hi, my name is Jaycoon, and when awakening Wusa Dosamine with 770 gear score, I do a lot of endgame PvE content such as Olin's Valley, the Dungeons. I've been taking a bit of a break from BDO, to be honest. I've been playing a little bit of PoE, and you can watch me live over at twitch.tv/JaycoonVTV before the T.
How dare you? Traitor. I've never left the BDO category,
you know,
in my life.
I was streaming PoE for like one day, right? And they're like, "Did you quit BDO?" No. It's because I streamed.
There it is.
I didn't quit.
There it is. Everybody,
wow,
yeah.
They quit BDO. Yeah.
Oh, get in, boys. Get in, boys. Sick him.
I was just streaming a different game.
Jay, it still feels better than when you stream BDO for 9 straight hours and then you play Withering Waves for 10 minutes and someone's like, "Did you quit BDO?" It's insane. It's literally insane. Yeah. All right, and our boy Blonde Bear over here, Blonde.
Hello, I'm Blonde Bear, and I like to party.
Yeah.
We gotta get your intro, man. We gotta get your intro down pat, man. We gotta fix this. You don't promote yourself. There's no Blonde Bear V before the T. Like, what are we supposed to do? Well, we have a lot of things we could talk about today, guys. And there's a lot of catching up I have to do. I'm going to give the perspective of somebody that hasn't been playing for, like, you know, recently, but kind of a veteran player that's been coming back because, like, I'm a little out of touch, which is uncharacteristic. Normally, I'm very up to date and, like, very in touch with what's going on in the BDO community. But, like, you know, that illness kind of kept me out of it. And I was moving too. You can see I'm in a new house, in a new room here, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, you sound different.
Yeah, thank you. That's the illness. Anything you could
like, there's a little bit more echo happening.
Oh yeah, I know. I'm working on it. All right, it's we're tuning it. We're adjusting. It used to be a lot worse.
Okay. It sounds good.
Yeah. good save, Blonde. So I've been a little out of touch, but Jay, you wanted to talk about the new speed mechanic changes. So for those of us that don't know, myself included, could you kind of go over what they changed about, like, the speed within the game and the mechanics that you're talking about currently?
The speed. So basically every class, if you had like a 30% slow, bam, cut in half. If you had any kind of like attack speed slows, it just got cut in half. And also duration wise as well. If it lasted 10 seconds, bam, it's 5 seconds now. And so it just sped up the game a lot. But I know from my experience, like, slows are definitely something like a little bit annoying in PvP. So maybe that's why they had made that change. So I think reducing this impact of the speed debuff should make the gameplay a little bit smoother. However, at the same time, like, those big 30, 40% slows, I kind of did rely on that in PvP to fight against those faster paced classes. But I mean, overall, I think that's the gist of it. They cut all the speed debuffs in half, a little bit more scaling as well. I need to add as well, like, for example, Witch, you know, elementalization, it has like two functions now. So the first motion where you're doing the cast of elementalization is scaled off cast speed, whereas the movement portion is scaled off movement now. So a little bit of changes in those kinds of mechanics for all classes too. Some abilities will scale more with attack speed, some abilities will scale more with movement speed, and so stuff like that.
Okay, right on.
Just
summarize
it.
Yeah, no, Awakening Witch got some kind of bigger change. Awakening Witch got some crazy changes and buffs, so we'll talk about that there. What did Zerker lose, if I might add? I'll ask Blonde, what did Zerker get? Because I've heard that, first of all, Zerker is clean in a way the best class in the game, just hands down in PvP. It's not even remotely close. You're like an unkillable monster. And then I've heard that they've been buffing it.
Yeah, Zerker doesn't lose anything, and we only on gains. Stacks on stacks on stacks. We're looking good.
That is
finally getting some recognition for being one of the worst bosses in the game.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At least you play the Awakening, right? You're not a filthy succession abuser.
No, Succession all the way. When Succession came out, I swapped from Awakening to Succession. I've never swapped back, ever.
That's all right. I thought better of you until that moment right there. So, in general, they're basically toning slows down across the board, is my understanding, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. So, like, they're speeding up the overall gameplay because slows are just... took a big hit. Now, I know Awakening Witch, yeah. I would consider it an objective buff to Awakening Witch. Getting another standing, lingering super armor like that, actually very, like, critically fundamental to the kit, in my opinion. Because before you only had Voltaic and Thunderstorm. Now you've got, I don't know what the name of the skill is, forgive me, to kind of help that out. I think that helps tremendously, especially with the big DR changes recently as well. How are the other classes in the game kind of receiving this? Do you know?
I do know from, like, you know, feedback reception, a lot of people were not liking them. There were a lot of them were fairly negative, but I think that change can be really tough. I'm not too sure specific. I'm kind of like the person that, like, just looks at my class and then, you know, just focus on that. And I didn't really explore too much of the other classes, to be honest. But just, like, overall reception has been a little bit more negative on the negative side of all the changes, like, overall. So, yeah, that's where we are.
Oh, really? Okay. So, like, honestly, like, overall, people are a little unhappy. I think that the DR evasion rework, and then you have this going on as well. I think it's just really hard for... it's been kind of a transitionary period. I like kind of how fast they're moving, but, like, I would love to see them adjust because, like... clearly evasion is suffering right now. Evasion is just not nearly as good as DR is, and DR is definitely a little bit overtuned, and then you have the DR classes definitely overshadowing their evasion counterparts. So, like, I'm curious, Blonde, how do you feel about, like, overall the movement speed changes, the DR evasion rework, now that it has had a little bit of time to sink in? How do you feel about it overall? And I know that you take a more of a PvE stance on the game. How has it felt?
Yeah, I think that the solution is, like, this is like a cause effect kind of thing, where it's like, okay, like, slows and stiffnesses, stuff like that inhibits your gameplay to be worse or less fun. I feel like that's, like, kind of the direction they're doing, and that's, like, what the point of it was. Whether or not the actual, like, changes are going to lead to anything meaningful or productive in the future, I don't know. I think this is, like, kind of in tandem with the hit scale changes, where we have, like, less hits on abilities, and they're trying to eliminate all this, like, sort of gunk in the middle. So I think that's just kind of part of it. I think it's going to be one of those long-term things we have to see after a long period of time, like, how it affects the player base. Because I feel like... that's just kind of the approach that they're trying to take right now. But the result, I don't know. I feel like the game's faster, a little crispier, but I mean, I'm not as technical as someone who's into PvP, so would notice, like, tiny itty bitty changes like that to be massive, you know?
I wouldn't worry about it so much if they would just adjust it. I actually think that the DR evasion change was just an objective step up for the game as a whole. Overall, reducing lag, reducing the number of hits, things like this, kind of changing how the system works a little bit. But, like, you need to adjust it. It's been a couple months now. Like, you've got to take the first step to show us, like, okay, yeah, we're looking at it. Evasion's definitely a little weak. Let's go ahead and let's tune up the evasion a little bit. You know what I mean? That's what I would love to see. Jay, how do you feel about it? As someone that's kind of stepping into PvP, I know that lately I've maybe been doing AOS as much, but, like, I would say over the past month or so, you've done a lot more PvP than your previous.
I have, yes.
You know, than your previous tenure definitely, in the game.
Okay, definitely the DR evasion changes made me feel a lot tankier. I could survive after somebody, you know, grabbing me, and that helped me learn a lot on how to just know how to react. Is just having more HP to be able to have that time to learn, right? Whereas, like, before, I would just get grabbed, die. There was no opportunity for me to learn any more past that. But because I could finally, like, start getting up, and then, like, oh I should have reacted faster to their grab, or I should have positioned here better, it's been a lot better for, like, just learning. I mean, I am at, like, more of a newbie stage, but I've definitely I feel like I feel more confident in my 1v1 stuff. Also, one more thing that has made me feel a lot tankier, especially in PvE. I don't know if you were paying attention to this, but special attack evasion was removed. And they replaced it with just more HP. So also, the Garmoth's Heart upgrade instead of giving that 10% special attack evasion, now gives 900 total HP. And the special attack evasion crystals, they're now called max HP crystals, they provide a whopping 850 each. So with all of these changes, you're actually like so much more tanky in PvE, especially because one, you have more HP, almost 3,000 more HP with the garments offhand and the HP crystals. So on average, that's like 40% more HP depending on where you're at in gear score. Like before I had like 6,000-7,000. Now I'm close to 10,000 just naturally. So I mean, a really big impact that I noticed it the most was at Olin's Valley. They have this really strong heavy hitting attack at Olin's Valley after the arc comes down, and that I usually forward guard through it, but it's a little bit spicy if your forward guard's not full, because if he hits you, if it's my forward guard, I drop down to like 10%, 5-10% each. Now with all these HP changes, my forward guard drops to like 40-50%.
Really?
Because if you didn't know, HP, a lot of people don't even know this, but HP scales with forward guard. And so the more HP you have, the more forward guard. So I felt so tanky. I feel so much more like invincible. But at the same time, I do think I have a feeling that all of these like tanky changes, also HP potions are now like double the amount. If you didn't know, it went from 275 to 550 recovery. So you're just recovering more overall. And so we're just like, you're not dying, right? Unless you're, you know, standing in dumb stuff. But I do have a feeling that this might be something in preparation for maybe new content that would hit much harder. Because again, right now I just feel like invincible. I feel like I can't really die in PvE right now. So,
yeah, accepted Ash Forest.
Ash Forest, no.
Dekia Ash, no, bro, one shot me today from standing, full what? HP. I was just there, and then I wasn't. It was one of those.
Oh, there was moments. This PvE, like, it was God. He said one time, what was it he said? He said just don't die.
Just don't die, you idiot. Yeah, that was literally Jay's advice. I remember that. Never forget. Jay's advice. Yeah, so like, I still think that I can take damage in PvE overall. I mean, like, if I try more spots, I've grinded at Crypt, and I've grinded at Dekia Ash, and I don't really feel any tankier or less tanky at those spots. But like, I'm sure that you guys, having wider ranges of like scopes that you've done, I'll trust your judgment on it. Like overall, I think that like special attack evasion, let's talk about this for a second. Do you think it was a W change to remove special attack evasion in its current form and give it and basically make it flat HP? Yes or no? Do you think this is a win for the game or an L for the game? I'm going to start with Jay and then we'll go to Blonde.
I think so, because I never really liked that RNG portion of it in the first place, where like if the special attack evasion procs, you're not dying. But if the special attack evasion procs doesn't proc, then you're dead. And so I never really liked that RNG portion. So having it just HP, just making it like a consistent thing now, so that you know for sure, like, hey, like I have this much HP, I know for sure I'm going to live if I'm at this much HP. That makes it a lot more better for, you know, deciding whether you should go in or not. So,
right.
That's my stand.
And Blonde, what do you think? W or L?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of W, right? Because everybody already hates RNG in this game so much. Why is it in our PvP? Like, it you know, it just shouldn't be. Special attack, resistances, like, you know, after the first CC. I feel like there's a lot of that should just be kind of like, why is it even there, bro?
Yeah, I mean, like, I take that exact same stance, to be honest with you. I think that any attempt to remove RNG from PvP in general is an objective W, and RNG from PvE as well, obviously. But like, especially in PvP, because that's what really matters when you talk about balance and things like this. I really do think that it was an objective W for the game to remove that kind of guessing game or that guesswork from the game. So, objective win. I like the flat HP. I also like they added flat HP caps, I think, on capped Node Wars and Sieges, right? So you can't just over the cap. Yeah, they can't just go flying over the cap anymore with like 15,000 HP, and just be a completely unkillable monster. So like, have they removed elixir use yet in capped wars or no? Is that not been done yet? Because they removed chimeras and kaios were basically supposed to be removed. There was a bug where they came back.
You can still use elixirs.
Okay, so you can still use elixirs, but we're trending towards that like truly capped PvP where like everybody's on the same like wavelength. I think that's an objective win, especially for cap PvP, a little amount of cap PvP that is actually fun anymore or that's left. But I'm curious, as PvE lords.
I wonder if they should just have like a normalized elixir. Like it's a brand new elixir and you can only use this specific elixir during Node War, and it gives like, I don't know, like 10% down attack, 10% back attack, and that's the only, you know, and maybe some other stats, and that's the only thing that it's like regularized. Is that a word? Regularized in capped PvP standardized? Instead of standardized. There
Holy
we go.
Holy words. Okay, vocabulary, yes.
I got you.
Thank you.
I'm not really sure. I think that standardized everything for cap PvP is just an objective win. So just make sure you standardize everything. Before it was like cool because you could like min max and stuff. Now it's not fun anymore because like people go crazy with it, and it's just used as a way to just bully as many new players as you can. Now let's be honest, you're gonna bully them anyway. If Cho drops on T1, even if all the stats are the same, it's cooked. Right, which is exactly what we're seeing.
Yeah, for some reason, they do more damage than everybody. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, that's just how it is when you talk about the pros of any scene. Their abilities look like they do more damage. They look like their skills come off cooldown more frequently, right? Like, it's kind of crazy that way. I'm curious, do you guys participate in Node Wars right now? Node Wars are primary PvE content right now. Because basically people are doing them to try to get the buffs and
monster
stuff.
Monster AP.
Yeah, yeah. The monster AP, the drop rate, stuff like that. So, like, are you guys doing Node Wars right now?
I have been, yes. Yeah, whenever my guild is doing Node Wars, I try to sign up whenever I'm available. So
APOC, right? Yeah. You're in Notorious? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like when you see Jaekoon doing Node Wars, that's when you know the rewards are really, really good, man. They're just that good, man. They're just that good. Blot, yeah, are you doing Node Wars? Creepy.
I am not Node Warring now.
Oh my god, what a loser.
Yeah, imagine that. Kind of a...
He's different.
Why are you not Node Warring?
He's been playing Risk Game.
Stop.
Maybe. No, the timing. Stop it. The timing's really bad. It's usually when I'm, you know, hanging out with my wife and we go to the movies, do stuff. So it's one of the frustrating things. I've always wanted to do basically it from since the beginning of the game. But Node Wars has always been on the East Coast, like just a little too late for me to basically do. Like if it was a little bit earlier or something, maybe for some West Coast it'd be different, but it is an awkward timing for me.
I don't know, sometimes I miss Node Wars too. That's why I like my position where I'm in now. If we want to do Node Wars, sure. If we don't want to do Node Wars, no big deal. It's not required, nobody cares, because that's kind of the state of Node Wars as it is currently. I don't want to dive too much into that because like that's kind of just like a tangent. The thing I really do want to talk about are the Sovereign weapons, which of course were released today in a patch. Yeah. As long as you are a human being in Korea and have rights, you can absolutely play with Sovereign Weapons Land of the Morning Light Part 2 and everything released today in KR. The rest of the world doesn't even have a release date yet. Fuck us. But like, I'm curious, did you guys watch the Anders video yet on it? Yes. And like the breakdown and everything on it? Yeah, I watched it this morning. It looked amazing. So like, what are your thoughts on the design choice of the Sovereign weapon? Because we haven't gotten a chance to talk too much about this. I'll start with Blonde first this time. Blonde, do you think that Sovereign weapons are kind of a good W step in the right direction for the game? Or would you rather have seen them do something different? Or do you like it? What's your take on it?
I like the concept of progression. So something to go for, and goal-wise, it's good. Seeing that it's cronable kind of basically just makes it seem like it's just cash bait for more costumes. I thought they maybe would, I had like a, you know, 5% chance thought of like, oh, maybe they won't make it cronable so like, you know, players can feel the progression without like feeling the weight of like wanting to put money into it or wanting to have to wait on costumes or croning, and that's not the case. So you know, in the different Discords I'm in and talking with people, a lot of people just basically see it as kind of just, oh, it's just PA trying to get more cash and milk you for more money, because now there's 10 stages of a weapon instead of just croning for pen. Now you're going to be croning all the stages because you don't want to regress. I like the concept of the progress. I like that there's like early pity attempts. It's like you do 4 clicks, then 6 clicks, then 10, 15, whatever. But I know I don't know. I don't I like the style of its progression and the you know, you go and collect the materials and you hit the weapon and it's a longer, larger stage of progress, but the way it's implemented, I don't think I'm a big fan of, to be honest.
Okay, all right. Jay, I'm curious what are your thoughts on it.
I mean, it's a form of vertical progression, and I think that just, you know, as I think it's okay as long as the vertical progression also is in tandem with the vertical of the content, right? As long as there's something some content that you're preparing it for, and hopefully we get to see that soon. I mean, I was looking over the Land of Morning Light Part 2, like patch notes and stuff, and they didn't have any details on the boss splits, which I was a little bit disappointed by because I wanted to really understand like that part of the maybe they're still preparing it, which kind of stinks, but you know, hopefully that we have some content to be using these types of weapons for, because you know it's a lot more AP. If you listeners didn't know, it's 14 more sheet AP, 10 more monster AP, and 12 more accuracy at the final enhancement rate. What did surprise me though was the enhancement rates themselves. Like I thought it was going to be a lot harder.
I thought so too.
It is harder.
I would agree. Yeah.
On the end. But for listeners who didn't look over it, let me just like summarize just a little bit of it from Pride of Pen. I thought it was actually super generous, right? It's 60% for Prime. So these are like recommended stacks that they have, right? And the recommended stacks aren't even that high from Pride of Pen. It's like 60 stacks to 150, right? Average stacks. So 60% for Pry, then 35, then 20, then 10%, then 7.5% for Pen using recommended stacks. So it looks like getting to Pen should be fairly easy. I would say that's like on the difficulty of getting like maybe even like duo Fallen God, try Fallen God. I think that's like somewhere there in terms of like the investment of stacks and, you know, types of percentages. For Hex to Pen, it is much harder, but it's not to the unrealistic scale of Pen Fallen God, which I thought that was going to be the case, that it was going to be that hard, but apparently it's not. And from there, like using recommended stacks, they recommend between 200 to 300 from Hex to Deck, which is it's 6% for Hex. So that's still pretty doable. 4%, then 3%, then 1.5%, then 0.75% for Deck, right? So non and Deck, really hard, but getting up to Oct, I think that's the most realistic stopping point before it gets like really hard. So it kind of looks like, you know, it's the 8th level, 3% chance at 250 stacks. You know, when I first saw this rate, I immediately thought, oh, that's like almost equivalent to like a Tuvala to me tapping for the Pen Black Star with their free pen hammer, with their free hammer, right, at 150 stacks from the Kalfion bot, right? So it's fairly doable to get to Oct as a sort of like soft cap point. So yeah, I do think there will be some people getting Deck, maybe even week one if the black stones that they were mentioning are, you know, easier to get, which is so what I'm going to predict. So
don't you think that's kind of weird though? Like a brand new weapon's got 10 stages and we're already like, okay, we're all going to be at like 6 or 7.
Weird, right?
Is that not like, can we not make the first stage cost a lot of materials so that we're on? I mean, not that I'm like saying everybody should be on an even playing field, because then like you would just wait to the next update when they give out the free Deca weapon or whatever, but it does feel weird that it's like, okay, we get the new weapon and the first 5 stages don't matter and we're already hitting like 6 or 7. And I understand that PA wants to set the bar for entry low, and so like I guess as end game players, our perspective is a little different because we've already got the capital income material to reach the later stages. It just feels kind of odd to already be like, yeah, 7 will be easy. Now we're looking at again 1 or 2 more taps for the end, and it's like, I don't know. Especially how you fix that.
When they said at the Kalfion ball, I remember them specifically saying the Kalfion ball that getting to, you know, getting your enhancements up will not be, I can't remember the exact words, but they said something like on along the lines of, oh, if you have like deep pockets, it will be harder. It wouldn't be as easy.
Yeah. Cause you're gated on materials, right? I imagine from the world. Cause like, what is it? You have to do, there's 4 world bosses you have to do.
World bosses, materials. Yeah.
So basically if you can just, like, if you live on your computer, you'll have more materials than the next guy.
It is weekly though, is what mentioned on the,
I didn't see that.
So that's the like rewards Garmoth are S? Weekly, so yeah, basically Garmoth S. So if you miss some of the world bosses, you can, yeah.
So
it's
going
to be time gated in that way, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But I was so surprised it wasn't tied to... Yeah, yeah, right. You don't want any of this sale.
So,
wait, you can or can't?
You can. You will be able to sell it. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard the night vendors, how a lot of people were getting their materials.
Oh, really? Okay.
I didn't know. Yeah, it's probably going to be patched for when we get it, because there's no shot. They're just going to let it open. I'm really surprised. I thought that the stones would be tied to the boss blitzes to incentivize people to do that group activity together. Maybe that's another way to get those materials. Maybe it will be as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that's additional to get more mats. Because I did see the weapon itself is not sellable, right? Is that correct?
The weapon itself is not tradable. Yeah.
I think that's a good choice. I like the concept of, like, I'm all for, like, going and grinding and getting your money and buying your gear so you don't have to deal with the enhancement system. But there is, like, something in esque of, like, everybody's working together on their own thing. And, like, I think it's more motivating that way, personally. I think people get so demotivated when they look at massive money goals, especially when you're getting to, like, the late game. People are, like, frustrated and bored about it, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like, my take on the sovereign weapons, I actually think that they're designed super well as far as, like, stepwise progression. I would agree with Blonde's take that I think that the early stages were a bit too easy. Like, these are the only weapons we're going to have for, like, the next 4 to 5 years. You know what I mean? Probably. And we're just going to blast through it. We're literally going to be done with this in, I mean, shit, if you got lucky, you're done in the day one, bro. You're already hocked or whatever the like, you're done, bro. Like,
just one tap it.
You're going straight to Tet, right? You're immediately, you're basically going, if you're a veteran player and you're ready for this shit when it comes out, and that's exactly what's going to happen, right? A lot of the veteran players, like, Jay.
Yeah.
Jay, what do you, your prediction, how far do you think you get on day one enhancing that?
Day one. It will definitely depend on how many stones we can get day one. But I feel like, you know how, like, when you get your Fallen God, you can immediately get it up to duo?
Yeah.
I feel like that would be the case for getting to pen, like when you get your sovereign weapons, everyone's just gonna get their pen right away, and then after that, you know, from try, you know, Fallen God, try to Tet, that's gonna be like, you know, the climbing point. And then for sovereign weapons, the climbing point would be from Hex to Oct, and then after that is, it's gonna be much harder. So
I mean, I would agree. Like, I feel like it's, everyone's gonna get at least to Tet, I would imagine, on, like, you get the weapon and then you've got a little bit saved up, you're going straight up to Tet, and then, like, I don't know, man, I feel like you're basically just done almost already. Like, I will say that the weapon lights up, if you don't know, guys, the weapon does light up as you enhance it, so, like, it gets cool light up effects as you enhance it, and the light up effects actually stay when you equip weapon skins, so, like, no matter what happens, your weapon will always be glowing that color in that way, no matter what weapons giving you have attached, which is unprecedented in BDO and is also really cool. Very, very cool. Did you guys get to see all the different weapons together? Are you guys happy with the weapons that you got? Jay, I'm curious your thoughts on the Wusa. I'm split on this. Go ahead.
I actually don't like the Wusa's fan, but I really like the book, The Awakening Weapon. That was so much better, thankfully. But the fan, I was not a fan of.
Oh, it was not. Wait, you were not a fan of the fan, but you liked the book?
I was not a fan of the fan. I liked the book. I didn't like the fan for some reason. It didn't click with me.
No way. I was exactly the opposite. Yeah. I love, really? Yeah, what? I love the fan. This is what the fan looks like, guys. This is Anders' video, by the way, just to give credit. But like that, I love how the fan looks for Wusa, and I just don't really like the book that much. I feel like it's kind of overdone. I felt like it
I
could
love
look,
the book. It's big.
I was
yeah,
it's big really and bright.
No, I was hoping that it would be more like Doctor Strange versus like the Red Witch, like that book that she had. You know what I mean? It would be like, it'd be really cool like that, but yellow instead of red. But like, yeah, I think overall they're pretty good. What do you think about the Zerker weapons, Blonde?
They're cool. I mean, there's only so much you could do with an axe. They look all right. I'm more interested in the Dosa weapon. The Dosa weapon looks sick.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I thought the Dosa, I'm like, ooh, man, I already like the sword and some of the skins we already have, but the potential is, oh man, I'm really
pumped. There were some weapons that are just kind of like, you can't really see them.
Hit or
like
miss.
The Megu weapon
Megu's
was like
is crazy. Hold on, let me try to find Megu. Megu's is literally insane. There it is right there. Guys, this is the Megu shot for the weapon. Megu's is by far, this is the pre-awakening weapon for Megu. This is by far the worst weapon. They didn't even take it out because you can't see it when it's out. It just blocks your ass when your weapon is put away and everything. It's just,
yeah. It's, and your effects are too bright to even see. Jesus.
Oh, God. It's so bad. Oh, it's so miserable.
Actually, you know which weapon really surprised me that I was like, whoa. That's a really cool design. Was the Shy Boomerang? I was actually I was surprised. Yeah, really good. Too bad don't have a soul.
I hope you like it because you ain't getting a different one. You know what I mean? Like that's it. That's all you got.
Yeah.
It does look really good. Although it's tough to mess up like a cool looking boomerang, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So like, there's that. Do you know the most one of the most underwhelming weapons by far? Is right there.
Was it the Awakening Nova weapon by chance?
Oh, God, yeah, no, I'm gonna get to that disaster in a second. Okay. The witch is absolutely just miserably bad. It's so bad.
Yeah, I know.
Your balls are just lit up, good, though. Huh?
But the staff,
no, the staff is feeling... like when you compare it to the other weapons, it's like a 3 out of 10. You know what I mean? Like, the staff is like, yeah, whatever. It's cooler than all the other staffs we have, but you could say the same thing about any of the Sovereign weapons for any of their class counterparts, except for maybe Megu, who is in absolute shambles right now. Absolute shambles. Now, like, you look at Succession Nova weapons, and maybe you're, like, a little bit, like, I'm disgruntled about it, but you look at the Awakening Nova, this is so bad. This one is
I thought it was going to be the entire like the rapier part of the
like
weapon,
like the
right?
Needle, the actual needle of the sword is not lit up. What are we doing?
Maybe they'll make some adjustments, but right now it's not it. It's just it's an elbow piece. That's what the weapon is. It's
bro. It's so bad. I'm looking for Berserker, but I can't find it.
I think it's somewhere in the beginning, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Right? No.
I'll just let it play. Well, oh, there it is.
I'm trying to skim through.
Aha, I found it. Okay, this is what the Zerker axes looks like. I think Blonde undersold this. I'm gonna be honest. The axes look sick. He's like, yeah, whatever. Novas are like, what do you mean?
It's like a spikier black star.
Spikier black star. Yeah.
Like, God, no, it's way better. Honestly, it's yellow, though. It's way cooler. This one is garbage. I do not like the Awakening, like the hand cannon. The arm cannon is just not... Mm. I don't really like that one very much. I'm not as much
of
a fan.
You know who else had a really good one? Lawn pre-Awakening weapon. I thought that one was awesome.
Oh,
and also the Awakening of Lawn as well. Both of them were awesome. Yeah.
So good. Hold on, where's the Lawn at? Let me show.
810. 810 is the timestamp.
Okay, yeah, so thank God Lan's Crescent Pendulum looks this good because her effects suck. Her like really? Succession Lan's effects are just garbo. Awakening Lan has pretty solid effects, although I wish her weapons were like bigger. I wish her, like, they showed these Awakening weapons. Look how dinky these Awakening weapons look.
They are a little bit small, yeah.
They're a little dinky, but like I think that has to do with the skin. Keep in mind you can put any skin on it you want, but I will say that the base skin looks really, really cool, right? And they look so small. I wish they were way bigger. Like when Awakening Lan first came out, the weapons were big, right? Like she carried these bonker swords
in
her hands, right? Yeah. Like that's what we want to see, bro. No developer should go in and be like, you know what? We should make the weapons smaller. No one ever wants that. No one ever wants a smaller weapon. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, stop. Like, what are we doing? Anyway, like, you can still equip what you want here. All right. My vote for best weapon is Awakening Valkyrie. By far. Did you guys see the Awakening Valk? It looks crazy.
Yes. Uh-huh.
The Awakening
With
Valkyrie
the shield
is insane.
As well. They have to make the Sovereign offhand. They have to, because otherwise, like, Nova is down bad for the Sovereign weapon.
Nova's down. True. Nova got absolutely blasted, dude. Like, I just want to point
Awakening
out.
Both Awakening and Smear Awakening. They got...
That's true, dude. Bro, I will say that as far as Valkyrie goes, it's like, Mom, can we have Valkyrie? And she's like, no, we have Valkyrie at home. Like, it's brutal. Succession Valkyrie got absolutely blasted. It's like the the long sword, like I said, it's so small. It looks so dinky, right? And then you get to Awakening and she's carrying this honking lance in one hand. And in the other hand, she's got this massive ass shield and it's all lit up and glowing and it looks really cool. And again, Succession just didn't get that. Like the shield isn't lit up. You look like such a pussy compared to the Awakening counterpart. But yeah, that's my vote for best looking sovereign weapon. I'm curious what you guys thought.
My vote has to go with Awakening Kuno. Go to 714
if you haven't already seen it.
Awakening Kuno was Kuno's awesome. Kuno's
so good. Yeah, Kuno's is crazy. Didn't he, at the start of the video, he had Kuno too, right?
Yes.
Or no, was it just the thumbnail? Or was it just the thumbnail?
Wasn't the thumbnail Valk? No?
I could have sworn it was like the Kuno just like standing there looking at... Oh, here it is. No, right here. Boom. If you look at this right here,
yes.
Look at that, dude. That's crazy. Like, that Kuno looks so sick. I'll try to blow it up for everybody. But, like, yeah, I completely agree. The Kuno, by the way, this is what I pull up the snipping tool, and it's just Boogie's lying ass face. And there we go. That's what I get for reacting. But, like, that's what the Kuno Awakening weapon looks like. Like, so sick. Blonde, I'm curious, what are your thoughts on best weapon?
I like the Valk. The Valk with the shield and the lance look really sick. I'm not going to lie. I've never played the class. I've never been a fan of it, but I mean, I credit where credit's due. It is really, really cool looking.
Yeah, I'm gonna post this video in the chat so that everybody can see the Anders video on it because he showcased all of them here. Yeah, if you want to check out your class there. Ninja also got blasted. Ninja, although, in fairness, I don't know how you make Ninja's weapons particularly like cool looking, you know what I mean? He's already got the anime theme style. The coolest part about Ninja is him putting the weapon away, like that's ironically enough, that's kind of how it is. I do feel like a critique here. Scholar weapon is way too small. Look how awkward she looks holding it. Look how awkward
that
she
hammer
looks.
Should go way above her head.
Yeah, what are we talking about? Like, what is this? She's holding like way down here, but she's vertical. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, the hammer is just way too small. Like, that's my point. Like, guys, stop making these small weapons. Like, nobody cares about small weapons. This is what the handheld hammers look like. These look pretty cool. They look okay. Mm-hmm. It's like Carl Stein, but lit up. You know what I mean? But yeah. I mean, overall, pretty cool. The design choice is interesting. I already know the answer to this question. So it's out in Korea, and the Koreans are already playing with all this new content, new expansion, everything. Yeah. Do we have a release date yet for the rest of the world?
I don't think so. Not that I've heard of. What I did hear, though, from my chat was Hugh already has a hex weapon, and so... maybe it's a matter of time someone has a deck weapon.
Bro, that's insane. The first person to get an X on their weapon, their dick is so big. I like literally the largest in the game. Bro, you get an X on your weapon? We thought the V was cool. The X is crazy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, deck.
X
like,
is going to look good.
Yeah, it looks so cool. It's not achievable, right? We're going to get it. And that's what I'm concerned about is we're all going to get these weapons. Boom. We're going to crank it right out. And then we're back to the demo grind. You know what I mean? Like oh my gosh, dude. Like, so the thing that we're going to end with today is the end game, progression direction here. So it kind of transitioned from, sovereign to just end game progression. Okay. I actually do think that like they added a new stone for the sovereign weapons, and very briefly, I think that's objectively totally fine. I think you can have as many stones in the end game as you want. They're veteran players. They already understand all the systems of the game. They can't really get confused with it. You can make new stones for end game players. The new game, like the new players are the ones where you have to simplify all the systems. So I don't mind them adding a new stone to the game after simplifying all the other stones.
Sure.
Yeah. As far as the end game progression direction, We're kind of in a situation where new players have more choices to go with their gear than end game players do. And that's really bad, in my opinion. I'm curious what you guys think about it. Like, you guys are done with the devil grind. You're finished with it, right? So what are you working on right now? Did you totally like done. The devil grind? Blonde, I'll ask you first.
Okay. I'm not done with the Devo grind.
Really?
I got one of my Devo rings, but the second ring. I'm at 14 out of 20 attempts. So
deserved. Okay.
Yeah, that's totally fair and valid. And I wouldn't mind it, except for the fact that it's like 40 hours between getting a seal, which turns into two rings. I understand that the point of the rings dropping at such a sporadic rate is because there's you go to all the other Debo spots, and while you're getting those Debos, you're also getting the rings. However, someone in my very privileged position to be at the end of that, it's very annoying to sit in any spot and basically be waiting 40 hours to get a drop. So the motivation is very low. But we'll get it when we get it. I'm honestly debating, because we're getting the hammers to expire in November, and I'm curious if a year after the earrings came out, they put out a pity system for it on the hammer. I'm curious if by November or later, if they're going to do a pity for the ring or add it to the hammer when it expires, and then they'll edit the code and reintroduce a new hammer. So I was curious about just maybe getting it to Tet and then just slapping it with hammers, so I don't have to sit there, because it's not so bad hitting pen. I don't mind hitting pen. That's motivating, right? I go get 30 bill, I buy the crons, I go click the thing. It's demotivating when you're going to try and duo and potentially purify. So
downgrading.
I think that right now it's cool because the weapon isn't something you're gonna save money and buy like you would any of the new armor pieces right when they come out, and everything is just kind of time gated, so you're kind of like free to grind a little bit, get your cron goals, set some big ones if you want to, push hard on Night Vendor for those first stones unless they hot fix it for the rest of the regions, and then just kind of from there, you know, you figure it out. I think that I'm like post treasure grind, I'm kind of like chilling. I'm not really sweating it. I'm kind of like, I want to play. I'll play a little bit, you know, no big deal. But I'm not freaking out about it. You know, I'm, you know, just chilling, having fun, playing, trying different spots and stuff. I think right now would be a good time to go to Tungrad if you could and get those fail stacks. I feel like those things are going to sell out because we already kind of have predetermined fail stacks for the clicking. And I think that if you in your mindset already have like a set goal, then you can just kind of sit from there and go for it, you know?
Yeah. I would generally agree. I think that the forced Debo grind, it completely takes all the dynamic out of the game personally, especially for like grind spots that you feel like you can go grind. That's the most miserable aspect of it for me, is that I feel like I have to grind one spot in the game where all these other spots that I could grind from to make a bunch of money, I have to go to the spot that for the Debo that I'm currently grinding for. Jay, what are your thoughts on Debos? You're like three earrings in, you're carrying like 10 rings, you're full pen everything. Like, how did you like the Debo grind? Do you think that all players should have to go through that? Do you think it's a good design choice? What are your thoughts on it?
So, like, in the very beginning, when back in like, so I started Debo grind back in 2020, right? When nobody could really grind Ash Forest at the time. And that was like a really cool, challenging thing for me, was trying to go for my Tet Debo, right? That was my goal after I hit my Pen Black Star in 2020, was to go for a Tet Debo. That was my next biggest upgrade. It was, you know, 4 more AP after my Pen Kaposha Necklace, right? And so, or did they give Pen Kaposha Necklace back then? I might have had a Tet Ogre back then.
Matt, what year was it?
2020. I don't think.
Oh yeah, no, we had
not yet, right?
I think Pen Kaposha Necklace came in 2021. I'm pretty sure it came in 2021.
I might have had like a Tet Tungrad necklace or something like that back then. But anyways, it was a really cool grind because nobody was there. Nobody could really grinded it efficiently. Nobody knew the mechanics. And stuff like that. But now it's just, you know, it's like everybody's trial now. Before, no, it was nobody's trial. Everybody was just going for their ogres. Now it doesn't feel that special anymore. It's not like that exclusive thing anymore. And so it is definitely like everyone having to do it to get the best in slot gear. And there's not like too many more choices. It does feel a little bit like there's not too much diversity, right? They are introducing something called like a saddle accessories. I don't know if you looked into that, but the saddle accessories is just like, what was it?
Twilight. You mean like the hybrid? Twilight things. Yeah, go ahead.
I meant Twilight, yeah. So the Twilight accessories, for viewers who don't know, it's like equivalent to Pendebreka in stats, but it's like split up. And so I don't know if people will still go for that because, you know, like, we're all AP monkeys. Most of us are AP monkeys. We just want the most amount of damage as possible. And so it leaves less choice. And I do like choice when it comes to like MMOs and video games and stuff. Like, I'm always like the person always theorizing about, oh, what if we could do this with our character? Oh, what if, you know, Voltaic had like different functionalities? We could add like a vacuum to it or something like that, or like, you know, those like, you know, mechanical stuff to make our, you know, characters feel a little bit more special in that way. And gear was a way to do that. You know, for the most part, was to customize our stuff like that. But everyone's converging to the same path now. No more branching paths. This is the only way. And so I don't know if I like that.
Yeah,
it does make it easier for, let's say you're a new player, you don't know where to go. Well, there's only one where to go now, so you won't ever be confused anymore, to be honest. So
no, I think it's the opposite, Jay. I think it's exactly the opposite. I think as a new player, there's a bunch of different ways you can start the game. Like, there's a lot of different gear paths that you can choose from. There's so many ways to make mistakes. Keep in mind things like Grunil, right? Like the Abyssal weapons, Narchilion. They still allow you to not pick seasonal, and all kinds of stuff. There's a lot of different ways that you can mess this up. Evasion versus DR, like for your class and stuff. And you can, if you pick one, you can also hybrid the other one. So like, you can go Muskins and Begs. It's like, oh God, what a catastrophe. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? There's a lot of different ways.
You can
a
fix
new
it later,
player,
right? You can turn it into the other version later, right?
Do you know why you can fix it later? Because as you get to the end game, all gear paths converge into the same thing.
Yes, I'm saying.
It should be the opposite. It should be like new players really only have one or two things that they can do, and they really can't fuck it up because they would have more player retention this way too, right? And then as you get later and later game, you have more and more options as far as what, like, where you want to go for your build path. Right, like, that's the traditional way that we see things. It's completely flip-flopped in BDO. It's completely obnoxious, in my opinion. But I did want to talk about that just a little bit. Now, it looks like we have a little bit of time. So, like, and this is going to be kind of a broad sweeping question, but like, state of the game. Okay, I came back and I have received reports from multiple creators and a lot of people about the current state of the game, and they're all conflicting. I am curious what your guys' unadulterated, unbiased opinion on the current state of BDO. Do you feel like there's more players now? Do you feel like scenes are struggling? Do you feel like the game is headed in a, like, a positive or negative direction as of, like, today, basically, and the last few months? I've kind of been away. I've been away the last few weeks, at least. Blonde, I'll ask you first because you haven't spoken in a while. What do you think about the state of the game currently?
I think that it's just we're between content cycles and it's a little bit longer than people normally want, right? We're waiting like almost a year since content, right? I mean, we've gotten tons of quality of life, which is great. Quality of life's great, but that's not content, right? Devil rings are cool. That's great. That's more progression, but that's not content. And I feel like, you know, we got like what? We got the new grind spots, Ulukita, the boots, the Kabuas, that was all cool at the end of last year, and we got basically all we've gotten is Scholar and a ton of quality of life, which again, like I said, is really good, and the Devil Rings are cool, but we haven't gotten a thing, right? And I think that people are just kind of like, ugh. And then, I don't know, I feel like the vibes around sometimes is like, the mood is like, yeah, we're working on progression, we're working on stuff, cool, and then it's like, then you're like, oh, okay, then the new one's gonna come out, and we're just gonna go back to the same thing, and that's not fun, right? Like, you're wanting something new to do, and it sucks that it looks like that's like 2 to 4 years in the future with the new regions, like the Mount of Eternal Winter Part 2 endless dungeon content. That sounds really cool. And the new castle expansion where it's like you're fighting through a castle and there's tons of demons everywhere or something. I think those sound cool, but in practice, if it ends up being the same thing running in circles, I don't think people are really having a blast with that right now. They talked about the Altar of Blood reworks and other reworks with other game modes and Savage Rift we haven't seen in many years, and stuff like that would be cool to break away from the monotony of, you know, the grind, or just honestly more group grinding in general. We got a new expansion with 4 more single spots. Like, honestly, I spent like 3 or 4 months grinding with Garnier and Qzad, going for our Debos and going for our Merchant Rings at Olin's, and that was more fun. And now that we've kind of finished our goals and we've broken off and we're doing our own things, I'm actually more bored because I'm not playing with them rather than doing other stuff. Like, I'm trying to find reasons to play with people to do things, and I think that the vibe's just kind of like, right now. And if they're not going to release anything new, because the weapon, you're just going to go back to Kron grinding whatever your best silver per hour is. If there's nothing new to do, I feel like the vibes are just way off. And that's not even to get started on AOS and the balancing and everything that's with that. Everybody is super PO'd about a lot of that crap.
Right on.
But I think it's just this happens between content cycles, right? So this is inevitable in any game. You're never gonna have a game where you're, oh yeah, we're pogging out every single month nonstop. Like, it's just, this is just one of those lulls. It's just a lot longer than we've previously been having for a long time, I think, personally.
Okay. That's a fair take. Jay, what do you think? State of the game currently.
Yes, I do have to agree a little bit with Blonde about how we've been just in really in between content, and there's not much to do right now. I mean, as somebody who loves BDO, as somebody who says a lot of positive things about BDO, I have to say that the game is kind of stale right now. And that's why I've been taking a bit of a break from BDO and playing PoE. Actually, as I've gotten a little bit more into PoE over the last week, I was looking at how they do their content in PoE. I don't know if you looked into that, but they push out content literally every 3 months. Every three months, it's a new season, new league, new mechanics and stuff like that. And I feel like BDO could learn something from that, in a sense that they've done roadmaps before in BDO, right? But sometimes a lot of the roadmaps, it falls through. And I kind of wish that they would have some sort of roadmap for us to look forward to. And I think that's what we're missing right now, is that, I mean, earlier you just said, like, oh, do we have a date for the new region? No, we don't have any dates. We don't have any, like, things to look forward towards. And that's why, like, we're feeling the way we are. We do feel right now, right? Because we don't know what's coming. But I think if BDO did tell us that they did have some sort of roadmap for us, like, oh, like, it's coming, you know, in 2 months. Okay, thank you. Thank you for letting, at least you're communicating with us, right? You're communicating that this is happening here, this is happening there. So I wish BDO would do more of that, is just give us something to look forward to, give us, like, you know, dates and stuff like that, so that we can, you know, hold our chairs. I don't know what the right saying is, but
all right, so I'll get my take on it. I completely agree. I think it's absolutely wild to release an expansion without even so much as having a release date on the table for the rest of the world. I think that is literally insane. Blizzard would get sued for malpractice if they released the WoW expansion in North America before the rest of the world without even giving a release date for everyone. That is absolutely wild. Especially since, like, on one hand, people are like, oh, it's Korean culture, it's a Korean game. Nope. Because, see, as a business, you know, like, this is literally a business, right? So, like, you have to look at where all your money's coming from. The rest of the world, right? North America and EU make up over 60%, 65% normally of the market share for the entire game. And we're the ones that's suffering because we don't have enough content. What are you doing? In my opinion. Like, I think it is overwhelmingly egregious to literally not even have a release date for the rest of the world when you're releasing something in KR. Also, for a company that boasts a company slogan of the adventure never stops, it's really the adventure never starts for the rest of us. And I've said this before, because see, in Korea, no, I'm just going in Korea, they get the adventure. They get the sense of discovery, right? Mm-hmm. When a new expansion comes, they get the discovery. They get to, like, tinker with things and, like, find things wrong or find things right. Or, hey, I can do this, or, hey, I can do that. Or, hey, look at this cool new place that no one's been before and no one has seen before. We don't get any of that. The rest of the world does not get any of that, because we all have to see it through the Koreans' eyes first. That sense of wonder, that sense of adventure is just gone. It's lost on the entire rest of the world. This is the biggest fundamental problem with Black Desert Online currently, is that they do non-worldwide releases like this, and it's extremely frustrating to the people who pay their salaries. Really, really frustrating. But in terms of the state of the game as a whole, I think that the PvE scene and the life skilling scene are doing okay. Like Blonde said, they are... We're in a lull right? But like, BDO usually does a pretty good job of retaining players during a lull, and I'll explain why that is. In most other games, you have MMOs, they release an expansion, and during the lull, you just go play a different game. In BDO, typically you have much better player retention. Like, a new expansion will launch, and then players, you'll see players stay with the game for a much longer period of time. And this is because the developers update us every single patch. We get a patch every week. People take this for granted. We get a patch every single week, right? Updating things about the game. And I think that people really like that, and it helps with player retention in the game overall. So I think that the life skillers and the PvEers for now are kind of content doing what they're doing. Yes, it's a little bit of a lull, but they're okay. If you look over on the PvP side of things, it's a complete catastrophe. It's a complete collapse of basically everything we've seen in the PvP scene. This is the least amount of guilds I've ever seen doing Node Wars, and the least amount of people that I've seen doing Node Wars in my tenure in the game. Is absolutely wild. Siege is also on the decline as well. Despite the fact that the rewards for the new Node Wars scene, which is the only reason people actually do Node Wars right now, is... like, that's it. The funny thing is, the only people doing Node Wars are people that are just like, yeah, I just want my PvE buff. And then they go right back, right? Like, they're not even the people that really want to fight or, like, have fun with it or be competitive, which is very frustrating. But that's another topic in and of itself. The PvP scene is in a collapse right now. And I think that with the Node War scene in the state that it's in, it really hurts guilds' abilities to come together. I was explaining this in a recent video, but, like, essentially, BDO's community is a very, like, tight-knit fabric of guilds, right? Like, it's like BDO's community is the guilds, right? It's what brings guilds together, and what brings guilds together is PvP. Okay, in other games it's different. You have end game that is like a PvE, okay, so there's reasons to get in voice with each other that aren't necessarily PvP oriented. In BDO, you'll never find a more active community typically than the PvP ones, and like the PvE ones tend to be a lot less active by a magnitude of 10 in general, as a general rule. And so we have less and less reasons to kind of come together as a community and get together and interact with one another, which is extremely concerning. I also think that the like in an MMO, you have a very delicate ecosystem of PvEers, PvPers, and life skillers. And it's kind of like a food chain. If there's an excess of one or not enough of another, everything kind of gets out of balance. For example, if there's too many carnivores, all the herbivores die and the carnivores just eat themselves to death. Right.
Yep.
And likewise, if there's not enough carnivores, all the herbivores just die because there's not enough food to support them. In this case, you have to have PvPers to help support the life skillers and the PvEers. As much as people might not like to admit it, all three communities are interwoven with each other, based on market, player interaction, guild stuff, consumables that we eat, all of that stuff, ties into like what makes BDO, up as a whole. So PvP is really struggling. The other two scenes I think are doing okay, where I would expect them to be at this stage. But PvP is really struggling. And if there aren't major changes for the PvP scene like soon to like fix any of this stuff, we'll continue to see a decline in PvP. And then you'll start to see a decline in the rest of the game, I think, too, which is rough. Right now, the game's doing okay, like on the whole, because PvPers make up a kind of a smaller... impact of like compared to the PvEers and the life skillers. BDO is doing okay. Like on the whole, you see less people interested in content in BDO. You see less people kind of like logging in like regularly to play the game. I don't see as active guilds in general either over the last few weeks. And people have been kind of keeping me updated on the Node War scene. It's definitely getting a little rough out there. Well, I just thought that that was interesting. We are a little bit over time, so we'll go ahead and do closing thoughts on this. We'll start with Blonde. Go ahead. Closing thoughts.
Closing thoughts. Like I always say every week, we'll see. We'll see what happens if PA decides to, you know, do what they need to do to get it in the way it needs to be. It's kind of all in the dev's hands. I don't know. We'll see kind of deal. That's all I could really say. There are no promises made, right? Like, the new expansion's out. We'll see when the release date comes out, and we'll kind of go from there. You can catch me at twitch.tv/blondbear, where I'm just chilling and grinding and chatting, you know? Casual.
Right on. And Jay?
Closing thoughts is, I think, balance is good in, like, both gameplay-wise and also lifestyle-wise. So I always tell my chat that whenever... like if you're looking for stuff to do in BDO, tailor it to the current events that's happening. right now there's not much happening, so this would be a good time to maybe take a break, do the fishing, right? There's a fishing event right now, set up your fishing all, you know, take a break, a little bit of a break from BDO, and then once the content finally starts arriving, then you can get back into BDO, and you know, that's a good way to like not get burnt out. But yeah, so that's my advice for you today, and you can find me over at twitch.tv/JakeandVT, V for the T.
Okay. Really quickly before we end it, I give my closing thoughts. Did you guys have a favorite outfit out here?
That green and black one was sick.
With the lawn? This guy right here?
The glasses.
Oh, the glasses. Yeah, the glasses are so good. Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a look you could make in the game. It's so freaking cool.
Yeah, the hair fades
that's
too.
That's like the Lost Ark-esque kind of like mixing outfits and vibes together. That is sick.
Yeah.
The stylization is so good in that. The hair matching everything too is just like, oh,
yeah.
Chef's kiss.
Completely agree. Jay, do you have a favorite?
I came over to Termion Beach, but I couldn't find you, and I forgot to go and find you. So I'm at Termion Beach, but I don't know where you guys are.
Wow.
Yeah, my favorite was the one Blonde said. That was a good one.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, so good. Look how good that one's crazy.
Yeah, I love
so
that
insane.
One.
Yeah. My favorite was this guy right here, bro, because this guy was just sitting there like the Godfather in his chair. Like normally I'm one for the female outfits, but this is one of our only male people that showed up today, and like he was just sitting in that chair like the god, an absolute unit, just watching the human centipede of a situation that we had going on the ground earlier. But like I don't even want to talk about it, but if you saw it you know what I mean. But like, yeah, I am Blue Squadron. No. And there's always something going on this channel. Lots of stuff, new YouTube videos every single day. Check out the Discord. It's always super active. People in voice, people to ask questions. I hang out in there as well. The Twitter's always getting more active as well. We just signed with Mythic Talent, which is really cool. Instagram, obviously. And then we have TikTok, all the fun stuff that the kids love. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, from all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast. Oh yeah. Make sure you comment on the video. You comment on the YouTube video, leave us your comments in the YouTube video. We use those to help figure out what our subjects are going to be for the following week. And we might just bring you up on the podcast the following week. So make sure you interact with the video. I love you guys. If you can't catch us on YouTube, Spotify and Apple Podcasts has us up there as well. Okay. From all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast, have a great rest of your week.